Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about time and our perception of it and how it affects our beliefs and sometimes our behaviors and our actions. What we're kind of concluding preliminarily is that we often don't see how God has moved historically within time and even in our own lives until after the fact. That looking back, we see how God moved historically through different ages, through different expressions of himself. And then we see in our own lives how he has moved and fulfilled promises and protected us and showed us his love for us, often only through hindsight. Very often, at the time we're going through hard times, decisions, we think that he's not listening or that we're missing him. And one of our challenges as believers is to make sure we spend time with him to review our own past so we're not holding things against God that we shouldn't be. Now, we make mistakes. We're soulical beings. Basically, once we become spirit beings, we have to relearn. We have to learn how to live as spirit beings. So even we lived as soulical beings before we were born again, and to some extent, we are still all living as soulical beings, though we're working on getting ourselves out of that. Well, the Lord's getting us. God's getting us out of that, bringing our soul into alignment with our spirit. But what we want to remember is that time is something that is constrained, at least from our viewpoint, to this earth. We think often that when we make a mistake, that it can ruin God's plans for our life. And that's 100% unequivocally false, because we are God's purpose for our lives. The circumstances that he has for your life, he arranges them on a regular basis. Moment by moment, he is intervening in every circumstance in your life, rearranging them for your good. Not to trip you up, not to be a finger pointer and pointing out where you're doing things wrong, but instead for your good, for bringing you into alignment, bringing your soul into alignment through revealing wounds so that he can heal them, showing you where you believe in lies, and then teaching you, by giving you those circumstances, to live as a spirit being. Now, he does that over this thing called time. Daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second. And one of the things we have a hard time getting our head wrapped around is that God created time. And is not constrained by time. Just like anything that he created, he's master of it. And he can shorten time and lengthen time and do whatever he wants with time. And through his son, he has redeemed the time Now, we could spend some time talking about what Jesus did in time and out of time, and how he also mastered time by going, you know, when he was in the earth after the crucifixion, he ministered to those who had passed before. And in Abraham, there were promises given, but those promises could not be fulfilled until the resurrection. And we could get into how the cross and the resurrection brought together both lines of time, the past and the future, into one eternal now. And I just encourage you to think about that, how if Jesus was God, he was not constrained by time. And now that we are in God through Christ, likewise, we are not constrained by time. Now, and our first step towards being freed from those constraints of time are to recognize that our past does not dictate our present or our future, unless we let it. That our history involves opportunity for hearing truth. If we take where we are now to God and allow him to reveal the set of circumstances that he arranged for our lives so that we could make decisions and mistakes and correct decisions, we start to see, he gives us the opportunity to see things and to experience things from his point of view. And he redeems our time. So that's on a personal level. Now, on a broader level, we can look at how God has done things over time and apply those to our lives as well, that as our beliefs change, we will begin to see what God has done in our lives from a different perspective. So we can start with talking about what age are we living in now. So we could say that presently mankind, not just we ourselves, but mankind are living in the age of grace. And these are all based on hindsight. We look back, and these are just labels that we use to try to make sense of how God moves and acts. So there's no right way of labeling or discussing these concepts, because God is all in all and is in control of time, and that's really all that matters. So these descriptions are for our sake. And so there's not going to be a right way. If you want to describe it one way, I'll describe it another, and we're both fine, as long as it always brings us back to what does the Lord say. And it's not about having the right doctrine regarding time, but does that doctrine bring you into a greater dependence on God for whatever purpose? The goal is not to have right doctrine. It's to know God. And you may say, well, you have to know right doctrine in order to know God. Well, if that was the case, we'd all be in a big deal of trouble, because none of us have absolutely right doctrine, because none of us has all the answers, all the truth. We all have our own soulical mind still working, still functioning. Now, in our spirit, we do have absolutely correct doctrine. And we all have the same doctrine. Now, looking around us, we can see there's hundreds of denominations in America alone. You go around the world, there's thousands of Christian doctrines. Certainly not going to say, okay, there's the one doctrine that's right, and everybody else is wrong. No, we are all interpreting what we know, what we believe, based on partial information. In our spirit, we have full information. We have all the information we need. In our soul, in our mind, we don't. So over time, for ourselves, even to draw a conclusion about was something a mistake or not, we have to take into consideration what was God's purpose. Unfortunately, we don't learn very much. We don't change. We don't grow when we do things right. We human beings, we learn the most by making mistakes, as painful as that is. Now, we don't need to go out and make more mistakes just so we can learn more. We are naturally going to make mistakes. Our lives are trial and error. It's how we approach those errors very often that determines what age we're in. So when we say that we're living in the age of grace, that partly refers to making a mistake, how God sees that, and how making those mistakes affects our relationship with Him. So we can say we're living in the age of grace based on world events, the timeline indicators that we commonly refer to in the scriptures, and most importantly, the aspects of relationship with God that are available to us today. There are aspects of ages past that clearly begin or conclude where one age ends and another begins. And there are also aspects of overlap where a truth from one age will overshadow several ages and then be finished, then be concluded. So we'll look at some of those aspects, especially law, from this perspective, and perhaps set the stage for other effects in our own lives as well. God is not obligated to abide by our beliefs. He's going to do what He wants to do. And just because we think He should act and be and do a certain way, He's not bound by that. He's the God. And our goal is to be available for truth. And very often for truth to have its way in our lives, we will have to give up our partial truths. So the other ages for you and I here on this earth now, the other ages that impact us the most right now are the age of law, which has just passed, and what we're being led into now, where we could talk about a great challenge coming in one way or another. And one thing to remember when we talk about challenges in the future, we are very often challenged more by victory and by success than by hardship and attempting to overcome. So when we talk about challenges to come, that doesn't necessarily mean something bad happening. It could be the exact opposite. It could be something good happening. And we can have very often our wounds and our character issues and our self-reliance can be more devastating than because of success. Because that success very often victory reveals our true reliance, where we are getting our life from. And if we are getting it from our own strength and our own attempt to control ourselves and to control God, that victory will reveal that. And sometimes we can get away with more as we are struggling to overcome. And when we are doing battle, then when we have won that battle. So just keep in mind that We don't know what is next, and we will only be able to describe what is next looking back. So it's going to be a challenge, whatever it is, but that challenge can be good, bad, indifferent, and it doesn't matter. You are going to have a challenge. I can guarantee it. You're going to probably have a challenge later tonight, tomorrow, the day after. And it will be a challenge that God has arranged just for you. Now, all ages, looking back on the big scale of things, all ages have transition times within them. Though they also have clear boundaries or events of beginning and end as well. Let's look at the beginning of historical time. What has been written down or described? Now, if you're a fan of science, you may have run across the notion of how time and space relate to one another. We're not going to get too heavy into science, but this is a real interesting and kind of mind-boggling concept of space, the lack of molecules bending time, gravity and vacuum. There is this theorem that is well accepted that the closer you travel in space, the closer you travel to the speed of light, time slows down. Now, we're just going to simplify it for our own purposes. This is called the twin theory. The twin theory states that if you sent one twin into outer space at the speed of light, and the other twin stayed here on Earth and watched him go, when the space twin returned 50 Earth years later, the Earth twin would have aged 50 years, while the space twin, who was traveling at the speed of light, would have aged only a few months. Now, there's been a movie that came out real recently, and they got this pretty close to accurate, and it was kind of mind-boggling when, again, we start thinking about how we are so reliant on time being linear and absolute. So for you and I, we can at least conclude that we don't know everything about time, and that it is not an absolute, and that at least some of our beliefs that involve time and the boundaries it represents are probably incorrect. And again, why is that important? Because one of the big restrictions we place on ourselves is that our future is lost because of past mistakes. When it's your future, it's the now. Eternity is now. And there is nothing keeping you from full dependence on God now but what's going on in your soul. And that is not at all restricted by your past and by your future. That God's future purpose for you is now, because you are his future. We think that God has a purpose in his will for us, that if we mess it up, we can never regain that will. If he wanted us to accomplish great things, if he wanted us to marry the right person, if he wanted us to be a certain way, that if we made a mistake and we didn't achieve those goals, that all is lost and we'll never be able to accomplish and please God and be what he called us to be. Well, that's a misunderstanding, not only of time, but also of what God's will is. His purpose for you is not wrapped up in what you do. It's in you yourself, you becoming one, the wounds being healed, your beliefs being truth have being instilled in you, you being brought into oneness, spirit, soul, and body. And that has nothing to do with your past or your future. only to the extent that he gives us opportunities day by day to deal with those circumstances by responding to him, by turning to him, Lord, what is your purpose here? We can even go back, Lord, did I marry the wrong person? Did I make the wrong choice in career? Did I do this, that, or the other thing? And accepting the freedom when he said you did exactly the right thing. Now, this may challenge some of our other doctrines and beliefs, that there is a right person, that there is a right choice, that there is a right this. And we have to allow the Lord to say, this was the circumstances, these were the choices I gave you, this is the choice you made, let's move on. And forgiving ourselves, we will talk about this again, I'm sure, forgiveness, forgive yourself, forgive others that even may have encouraged you to make the wrong decision, that you think is the wrong decision, but also forgiving God. Now, this is not a forgiveness that says he did something wrong. But what this does is allows him to be who he is and release our expectations. Part of our challenge with time is that we think that if it was important, God would not let us make that big mistake. And you're right. Because it's not that important to him. Most of what we strain so much about is not that important to him that he is going to hold it against us. Didn't want you to make that choice, he would not have put it in front of you. On the other hand, he already knew you were going to make that choice. And on the other hand, your spirit already knew you were going to make that choice. So why do we go through this life at all? And we'll be talking about that. God's purpose for time. Because when we're talking about life here, we're most often talking about we're all getting older, we're losing our youth, and we're becoming older. Did we accomplish what God wanted us to accomplish in our lives? What do? We look back. We see where we are. Do we have the plans to meet the goals that he has for our future, past, present, and future? Those are all time elements. Is that the way God evaluates how we're doing? Think so. But let's go back to the first aspect of time that we're all familiar with, in the garden. Now, we really have no idea how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. But we do know that at a certain point in time, God kicked them out. During the time they were in the garden, certain rules applied. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for instance. They could eat of the other trees, and we'll even assume that they ate of the tree of life. But after they had eaten of the one tree they couldn't eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, boundary, to keep them from going back and eating of the tree of life again. At that time, a new era, a new age, a new way of relating had begun. What was okay one day was not okay the next. Though specifics vary, we can see this pattern repeated as one time period transitions into the next. That's something to look for. Is something okay one day and not okay the next? Or vice versa, not okay one day and okay the next. That's a good way of recognizing that something has changed in relationship. Because this is how we judge ourselves. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? How is our behavior lining up with God's expectations? And what we're hopefully concluding is that those expectations were all met by Christ. So we are no longer even judged by our behavior, even though our expectations still fall that, yes, they do. So we have to look at what's going on for us as individuals. And we look at every man's heart. This is what happened after they were kicked out of the garden during the age of knowledge. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not the good and evil isn't the important part. It's the knowledge that they got to decide what was good and evil because they had brought that ability into themselves. During the age of knowledge, everyone did what their own personal knowledge told them was okay. During this time period, there were judges, priests, kings, prophets, seers, and other leaders God would occasionally raise up in order to instruct and guide his people. Over time, the list of boundaries or laws expanded to include everything from what to eat, how to treat one another, how to worship, and how to go to war. When God, through a variety of means, instituted a law, it was at that point in time the people were held accountable. One day it was legal, the next day illegal, or vice versa. The age of knowledge gave us the knowledge of the law. And it was in effect until every statute was fulfilled in reality. Every piece of knowledge of choice was fulfilled at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Boundaries, the laws, and the requirements were necessary because man could not know God on his own terms. Because God, being spirit, needed to be known by spirit. In Adam, the spirit life had been lost, and with it, true communion with God. But then, later, in Christ, spirit life is restored, along with true communion with God. Now, how does this affect us? The more you spend time with him and allow God to reveal the simplicity of his heart towards you. A lot of times we talk about the simplicity of devotion to Christ, that knowing him is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. His ways are not hard as to know. It's relying on him, learning to rely on him and let him be the God and bring us into oneness. But what's hard is giving up our own understanding, our own knowledge of good and evil, our own perception of time, our own beliefs, our own control. It's not really about God, knowing God, that's hard. It's giving up our own control. So this is where time comes in. And as we begin to see the power of time and how God has used time over history, over time, that we can see in our own lives how valuable time is, how we can redeem it, and how God can take a little time in our own lives and expand it, that any day can be a redemption of your entire life. That God is not bound by what you did in the past because he was already there. Your past is no different to him than your future. or your present. And as we begin to see that, we become free from the bounds of time. So we will pick it up here next week at this same point where we're going to talk about transitioning from one age to the next. But if you've got any questions, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org, or you can go to the website, therainersclub.org. There's a contact form, or you can even contact me through this radio program. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a good night.